glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Open your Bibles with me tonight to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. We're going to talk about rightly dividing the Word of truth. You know, to understand the Bible, you have to have spiritual insight. The Bible is a spiritual book. Now, this is why that people can go to seminary, seminary, and they can go for years and years, but unless they have the Spirit of God within them, they'll never be able to rightly divide the Word of God. That's why you have people that are highly educated in their minds and in their intellect, but their spirits are not educated. Therefore, they'll take the good news of the Word of God, and when they get through with it, it's bad news. I mean, all over again, man. I mean, I hear it every day on radio, and if you listen to radio much, you've probably heard some of it. They'll take some of the greatest healing scriptures in the Bible and preach sickness and suffering out of it. Because that's what they were taught. But notice here in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15, where Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's what we want to talk about, rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of the Word bringeth light." Well, thank God the Word is filled with light. The entrance of God's Word does bring light. The Bible says God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, we could learn some things from that by just give some study and meditation to it. If God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, then there was no darkness that came from God. And then sickness didn't come from God. Then evil things didn't come from God. But yet, you see, sometimes people will find one scripture in the Bible and they'll get all bent out of shape over it because it says something. You know, over in Isaiah there's a scripture that says, "I, God, create evil." Well, now, that's contrary to everything else the Bible says. So don't be disturbed when you find one verse of Scripture that seems to say something that is contrary to all the attributes of God, because if you'll do a little study on that, and if you have a Dake's Bible, you can look it up what Finis Dake said about it, and I think he's probably one of the most educated men and had spiritual insight into many things. Spent hundreds and thousands of hours studying the Bible. And he says concerning that, it could not mean that God created it. It only means that God allowed it. And this is where people get their philosophy of life warped. And if you believe that God created evil, then you will be crippled in life because you have an attitude that God's causing the evil, then how in the world can I pray against it, you see? But God did not create evil, and the Scripture says, and I create darkness. Now, I had a friend of mine come to me one time. He said, we were talking, just sitting around the table. He said, well, where did darkness come from? And did the devil create darkness, or did God create darkness? Where did it come from? And I'm just sitting there, you know, calling on the Lord some insight to it, because some of these things are kind of hard to explain, you know. And when he kept asking me, and I had an inspiration of the Spirit, so I got up and turned the light off. And he said, "Turn the light back on." And I turned the light back on, and he asked me the question again. I got up and turned the light off. He said, "I wish you'd quit turning the light off." I said, "I'm answering your question. That's where darkness came from. When you turn the light out, it's dark." Darkness is the absence of light. So when Satan turned from righteousness to unrighteousness, it was darkness and it was evil. It wasn't a matter of creating it. It was a matter of, it was something that happened. So don't get all disturbed because, you know, I read a pamphlet of an individual that everything I've read about him, they've sent me, some individual sent me several things that he had written. But his whole ministry is based on the fact that God, what he says, that God created everything that's evil. And that all evil comes from God. Well, now, you know, you wonder about a guy like that. You're very suspicious about him. You know, if the devil had wrote that pamphlet himself, he wouldn't have changed a word. So that's why the Bible said, study to show thyself approved. Now, see, just with one verse of Scripture, you could invalidate that idea that God creates evil, for God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. James says that every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. There's not even a shadow of turning from that which is good and perfect. I like what Oral Roberts says. God is a good God. No, He didn't create the evil. Now, because of His Word was out, He had to allow some things to happen. Because God's Word was out. God told the children of Israel, if you get out from under this covenant, the curses are going to hit you in the face. And I mean the serpents will bite you and all these things will happen to you. Then, you see, it's unfortunate that it was translated that way in the Old Testament that God sent the fiery serpents. No, it wasn't God that sent the fiery serpents. It was their disobedience that brought the fiery serpents. Ask yourself this, would the serpents have come if they had obeyed God? No. They wouldn't have been bitten. They wouldn't have died. They wouldn't have had that if they would have obeyed God. So, that's what we want to talk about. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Go with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's begin with verse 9, where Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray. He said, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now that verse 10 there is a powerful verse of Scripture. That would prove to you most of the arguments of people concerning evil and sickness and disease in the earth as being the will of God. That would prove to you that it's not God's will right there. Because here's what Jesus said for His disciples to do. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as the same as it is in heaven. Now ask yourself, how is it in heaven? Is there any sickness there? Is there any disease there? Is there any poverty there? No. That's a healthy place up there. That's a wealthy place up there. Man, I mean, the streets are not paved with gold. They're pure gold. They got gates up there that are made out of one pearl, 200 feet tall. Somebody said, can you imagine how big the oyster was? That'd be hard to swallow, wouldn't it? But now listen, He said, pray that the kingdom come, the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that tells you the will of God for the earth. That tells you God's will for this planet earth, that it be here the same as it is in heaven. Well, now somebody said, well, now if that were true, it would be that way. Well, I see, that's the kind of wrong thinking that gets you in trouble. Let me ask you another question. Is it God's will that any perish? No, couldn't be, because the Bible says not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, let me ask you one other question. Are there any perishing? Yes, every day. Not because it's the will of God, but because there's an illegal alien loose on this planet, killing, stealing, and destroying. And his name is Satan. He's illegal on this planet. But God's ultimate will is that it be on earth the same as it is in heaven. God fully intended for this planet earth to be a duplication of the planet heaven. That is still the will of God. Regardless of what happens on this planet, this is still the will of God, and he taught his disciples to pray that it would be that way. Now, that has to be the will of God. He wouldn't have taught them. Jesus would never have taught his disciples to pray against the will of God. So then, if there was no other verse in the Bible, this ought to prove to you that it's God's will for you to be healed, you to be delivered from sickness, poverty, and all the things that kill, steal, and destroy on the planet earth. The will of God is that it be on earth the same as it is in heaven. Isn't that good news? God bless you. I appreciate so much you allowing us to minister the Word of God to you today as we've talked about rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Our offer all of this week is a video offer, number 7881. It's entitled Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings. This is a 144-minute video. That's nearly 2 hours and a half of video for $24 plus $5 postage and handling, a total of $29. Now, on this video, we talk about the fact that so many places in the Bible where it says God did something, it wasn't God that did it at all. Finus Dakes, in one of his notes in the Annotated Reference Bible, states this: it seems from 2 Samuel 24:1 that the Lord moved David to number Israel. But we must understand this is only in the sense that his allowing it to happen without definitely interfering. By Hebrew idiom and also modern usage, a person is said to do that which he permits to be done. Now, when you study this out, you find out actually that it says Satan in 1 Chronicles 21:1 says Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, God had told him not to number Israel. So, see, this is a hard saying. We're talking about scriptural balance to hard saying. Sometimes in the Old Testament, something is said, attributed to God, that God didn't do at all. And then God gets a black eye over the deal, so to speak. For instance, in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, 9 and 10, it indicates that God closed Israel's eyes so they couldn't see, couldn't hear, lest he should heal them. Well, now, that's a hard saying, isn't it? But when you study it out, you find out that wasn't what happened at all. That's offer number 7881 for a total of $29. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400. That's 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the devil is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
You see, God wants this planet Earth to be a duplication of the planet Heaven. That's why he told his disciples here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 9, After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will for this earth is the same as the will for heaven. But this earth fell. It fell. Adam sinned. He committed high treason. He turned his authority over to the devil. And the devil became what the Apostle Paul called the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul said, Whom the god of this world blinded the minds of them that believe not. So we're faced with rightly dividing the word of truth. You hear people all the time saying, Well, you know, God put this on me, or God did that to me. I've heard them testify that God gave them cancer. And what a great blessing it was. Well, if it is, we ought to pray that you'll have two of them. We ought to pray that everybody'd have one if cancer is a blessing. But it's not. It's a curse. It's not of God. There was no sickness in the earth until sin showed up here. Till Satan showed up on the planet Earth. Then if we just use our heads a little bit, we can figure out that when Satan's done away with, there'll be none here. Isn't that good news? It came with him and it'll leave with him. Now that ought to give us a little bit of a hint to where it came from. Now here's something I want you to see. God's will for this planet is that we live in health, have abundance, and have joy and peace here. That is the will of God. But there's an illegal alien on this planet, a spiritual outlaw called Satan that is out to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10 says, The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I know there's a lot of people that believe that God has got the devil hired to perfect the church. But I'm here to tell you it's not so. God and the devil have not joined up together. I heard it on national TV. If I called a man's name, you'd all know him. Bless his darling, confused heart. But he made the statement several years ago, and I was sitting in a motel room. We was having a meeting somewhere, and I was watching on Sunday morning, and boy, he was preaching one of the best sermons I ever heard. Boy, just preaching faith, man. I thought, man, this guy's really turned on. And after a while, he said, You need to know who's causing your problems. You need to know who it is that's giving you troubles and problems in this earth. And I said, Amen, brother, preach it. And then a little bit, he said, It's God. And I like the fellow out on the floor. He said, It's not the devil sending you problems. It's God that's sending you problems. It'll make you more like Jesus. And he said, The devil is nothing but an unwilling servant of God. And God's using him. And I had to gather myself back together. I could not believe what my ears was hearing. Now, here's a man that's right in his heart. But he's wrong in his head. I mean, he's doing a great work. Thank God he's getting people saved. But if you go by his philosophy of life, then, and he went on to say this, he said, Everything that happens to you in life is God's will for you. He said, God has you in the center of his hand. And if the devil can't get to you unless it's God's will. Now, let me ask you something. Was it God's will for Adam to sin? Well, now, surely, God had as much respect for Adam as he does for us. Now, if God had Adam in his hand and it wasn't, Satan couldn't get to him unless it was God's will, then it had to be God's will for Adam to sin. And then it had to be God's will for God to kill his son. Because if Adam hadn't sinned, he wouldn't have had to kill his son. You've got problems when you believe that way. See, the Word of God must be rightly divided. No, Satan is not working for God. There's three things that Satan came to this earth to do. Kill, steal, and destroy God's creation. And that's all he's here for. He's not here to make your faith stronger. He's not here to make you more like Jesus. He's here to make you like him. A thief, a killer, and a destroyer. Now you see, if it were true, that it was God's will, everything that happened to you, then why does the Bible say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you? Why in the world would you want to resist the devil if he's working for God? I mean, if it's making you stronger. And this idea that, you know, the wilderness experience always makes you stronger. You better check up on the wilderness experience. Somebody said, oh, it's just a blessing in disguise. Ask the children of Israel about that. Didn't bless them, it killed them. Thousands of them died in the wilderness because they didn't obey God. Wilderness experience is a curse. God led them out of the wilderness. It wasn't his will for them to stay 40 years in the wilderness. It was their unbelief that kept them in the wilderness 40 years. So what we need to realize is that God is on our side, and God said, pray the kingdom of God come, that the will of God can be done in earth the same as it is in heaven. It is God's will for it to be on this planet earth now the same as it is in heaven. That is the will of God. Yet it's not that way, is it? Now if you'll read the back of the book, you'll find out that it's going to turn out that way. That has to be the will of God, because that's what God said, and that's the way it's going to turn out. John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and heard a great voice out of heaven saying, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I shall dwell with them, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. What John saw was God moving heaven to earth. That is God's will. God is going to move heaven to earth. Now, I don't mean that it's just going to get better and better and better. I'm talking about after this thing's renovated, it's going to be a new earth. But now, why would it end up with heaven on earth if it was not God's will for it to be the same on earth as it is in heaven? Now, see, we're going to have to be willing to turn our religious heads off sometimes to rightly divide the word of truth. If it is the will of God, and that's what Jesus says here, that it's the will of God for the earth the same as it is in heaven, then it must be the same will for heaven as it is for the earth. Wouldn't that stand to reason? If he said, pray, the kingdom of God come, the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven, so that means the same will here as it is in heaven. Then if it's God's will for you to always be in trouble and turmoil and problems here on earth, then you better get ready, because you're fixing to have them when you get to heaven. But it's not God's will for you always be on just barely get along street, just always suffering and just barely making it here on earth. It's God's will that it be on this planet the same as it is in heaven. Somebody said, well now, Brother Caps, if it's that way, it'd just be that way. Oh, no. It won't be that way just because it's God's will. No more than all the sinners will be saved just because it's God's will that none be lost. See, you have to receive the Word and act on it to cause the manifestation of what the Word says. So God has given us some great insight that we ought to be praying that this earth would be changed and made like his will. Will be on earth the same as it is in heaven. That is the will of God for this planet earth. It has to be, because it turns out that way. Heaven is coming to earth. God is going to move his throne down here. Do you realize what that means? That God himself is going to move to the planet earth, the new earth. He's going to move here and bring heaven with him. See, we're not going to heaven and spend eternity. He's going to move it down here. Y'all still out there? Or you go home? I don't know about you, but that excites me. And we're going to be up there a little while, but we're coming back to this earth, the new earth. The former things have passed away, and all things will have become new. Well, why did it become new? Because the will of God finally came to the earth. See, when the kingdom has come, it is possible for the will of God to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, the physical manifestation of the kingdom hadn't come yet, but the spiritual manifestation of it has come, and it's set up in the hearts of men. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where the kingdom is. And he said, it's possible then for the kingdom of God, when the kingdom has come, for the will of God to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Now, before we leave the broadcast today, I want to remind you our video offer all this week is offer number 7881. It's entitled Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings. It's 2.5-hour video, VHF video, entitled Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings for $24 plus $5 postage and handling, total of $29. Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings. You know the sayings in the Bible, for instance, in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10, is a classic example of it, where God said for Isaiah to go and tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not, see ye indeed and perceive not, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now, there's something wrong with that. There's something missing there, because God wanted them to hear. He wanted them to believe. He wanted them to be healed. Well, now, in the Hebrew, it's translated in a causing sense when it should have been allowing sense. The Hebrew does not have a verb in the allowing sense, so it's translated in the causative sense. Now, when we come over into the New Testament, Jesus gives us insight into it. And he gives us a clear understanding and scriptural balance to that hard saying. And here's what Jesus said. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Did you notice? Jesus said they closed their own eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now see the compassion in the ministry of Jesus. If they'd just open their eyes and see and hear, they'd be converted, and I would heal them. But you see, if you only read Isaiah's account, you'd think God blinded the Jews. I thought he did for years. No, they closed their own eyes. That's offer number 7881, Scripture Balance to Hard Sayings, for a total of $29, 2.5-hour VHS video. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
We're talking about rightly dividing the Word of Truth. And we're going to deal with several different things as we go along here. They won't always be connected. But now notice here in the 11th chapter of Luke where Jesus is talking to his disciples again. In fact, he's teaching them to pray. This is Luke's account of it. And notice in verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, one of the scriptures that most people use to say that you ought to continually pray and continue to pray the same prayer over and over and over until you just wear God out and finally He'll do it just to get rid of you. This is one of the verses, or one of the passages of Scripture. In fact, I was teaching in a seminar in Little Rock, Arkansas, several years ago, and the man came by the restaurant and had been in the meeting. He said, Now, Brother Capps, I know what you were teaching about prayer, that we ought to pray in faith, believe God, and then you not pray about that thing anymore if you prayed in faith. Talking about the prayer of petition now. And he said, but Jesus said that the man that went for the bread at midnight just kept knocking and just kept knocking and just kept knocking. And he's teaching us to just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And I said, would you mind turning to that and reading it to me? Well, he said, I don't know where it is, but he said, I know it's in there. I said, well, I just happen to know where it is. Do you mind if I read it? And did you notice that the Bible never did say that he knocked? But everybody says he just kept knocking and kept knocking and kept knocking. But the Scripture never said that he knocked. Getting quiet in here. Now let's see what he did say. He says, For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, for the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now notice something here. Let's go back and read it again. He says, verse 5, Which of you shall have a friend that shall come unto him at midnight? Now notice, this is a question. To rightly divide this Scripture and this passage, let's analyze it. He asked them a question. Which of you would have a friend that if you came to him at midnight and said, A friend of mine's come and I have some tuna fish, but I don't have any bread. And he would say, No, you ugly thing, you ought to come before I went to bed. I'm not going to give you any bread. Which of you would have a friend like that? You wouldn't need a friend like you wouldn't need any enemies if you had friends like that, would you? See, Jesus is asking a question here. Which of you would have a friend like this? Well, the answer is nobody would. You don't need a friend like that. Which of you shall have a friend? Shall go to him at midnight, saying to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing. Now, the Greek says that different. The interlinear Greek says that I have not what I am going to set before him. Now you'll notice that is a faith statement. He has come to the man and he said, I don't have what I'm going to feed him. In other words, he's planning on taking it to him from there. Now, can you find any place in this Scripture that it said the man not? But everybody says it did. Now, the only thing that would even bring any indication of that is on down here where it says, Everyone that asks, he that seeketh, well, verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. But you see, it never said that this man knocked at all. But so many people read that in there. That he just kept knocking, he kept knocking, he kept knocking, and Jesus is teaching us just keep praying the same prayer over and over and over and over and over and over. Now hold your place right there. We're going to come back to that. Go back to Matthew, the 6th chapter. You see, you answer the Bible with Bible as much as you can. And most of the time you can. Come back to where Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray. Verse 6, Matthew 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enterest into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And then he gives them a model prayer or principles to be used in prayer, and nowhere in his prayer does he ever repeat the same phrase over. Now, I think it's important that we understand this. Don't use vain repetition. Now, I want you to understand what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the petition of prayer. I'm not talking about intercession. I'm not talking about the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. I'm not talking about praying the Word of God. I'm talking about the petition of prayer where you ask God to do something. Now, the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Now, if you don't know the will of God, then you can't pray the prayer of faith. It's impossible to. Because to have faith, you would have to know what God's will is. Because God's Word is filled with the faith. So if you don't have the Word concerning what you're praying about, you can't have faith for it. Not Bible faith. You might have some natural faith, but you couldn't have Bible faith. Because the promise of whatever let's say it's healing. If you don't have the Word of God concerning healing, you couldn't have faith to be healed. So to pray for someone, and I've heard people pray, and if you don't know any better, you can't do any better. They pray, Lord, if it be thy will, heal brother so-and-so. Well, now if you're going to pray over me like that, just forget the prayer. Take me on to the hospital, please. Because if you don't know the will of God, your prayer is not worth the breath it took to pray it. Now, I hate to be so blunt about it, but I haven't got all night, See, here's the thing about it. The faith is in the Word of God. You get the faith from knowing the will of God. So if you don't know the will of God, you can't have the faith of God. It's impossible to pray the prayer of faith if you don't know what His will is. And that's important. So Jesus here says, don't use vain repetition. That's like a farmer going out and planting his corn. He goes out and plants corn. He goes out the next morning and he don't have corn stalked the first. Does he say, well, planting didn't work. We're going to plow it up and plant it over. You could do that 365 days a year and you never will have a corn crop. You got to plant it and let it stay planted. Now let me give you scripture for this. I know it's against the grain, and I know that I used to believe that way. I was raised in church, and I got these Sunday school ideas. That I was trying to talk God into something that He didn't want me to have. And if I worried Him long enough, it's kind of like my parents. He'd finally give it to me just to get rid of me. I found out that is all foolishness. No, that's not the way it works. God's already said yes to all of His promises before you ever ask Him. You just must know the promise and have the faith that's in that promise so that when you pray, you believe, you receive. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall, and you shall have them. Didn't say you had them then, said you shall have them. Believe you receive them. Receive them what? Them things you pray. So now, if you believe you receive them, why would you pray for them in the morning? You already believe you receive them. So don't pray for them in the morning. Get up in the morning and say, Father, now at 9 o'clock yesterday morning, I believe I receive. Thank you, Father. I thank you that my needs are met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that it's done in Jesus' name. You could pray the Word of God over it. You could pray the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. But don't go back with the petition again. You don't have to go but one time. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Now see, the Bible's an Eastern book, and the Eastern people understand it that you ask once and you receive. Can you say amen? Now, before we leave the broadcast today, I want to remind you our video offer all this week is offer number 7881. It's entitled Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings. It's a 2.5-hour video, VHF video, entitled Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings for $24 plus $5 postage and handling, total of $29. Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings. You know the sayings in the Bible, for instance, in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10, is a classic example of it, where God said for Isaiah to go and tell this people, "Hear ye indeed and understand not, see ye indeed and perceive not, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Now, there's something wrong with that. There's something missing there, because God wanted them to hear. He wanted them to believe. He wanted them to be healed. Well, now, in the Hebrew, it's translated in a causing sense when it should have been allowing sense. The Hebrew does not have a verb in the allowing sense, so it's translated in the causative sense. Now, when we come over into the New Testament, Jesus gives us insight into it. And He gives us a clear understanding and scriptural balance to that hard saying. And here's what Jesus said. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed." Did you notice? Jesus said they closed their own eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now see the compassion in the ministry of Jesus. If they'd just open their eyes and see and hear, they'd be converted, and I would heal them. But you see, if you only read Isaiah's account, you'd think God blinded the Jews. I thought He did for years. No, they closed their own eyes. That's offer number 7881, Scripture Balance to Hard Sayings, for a total of $29, 2.5-hour VHS video. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Now see, the Bible's an Eastern book, and the Eastern people understand it that you ask once and you receive. But now the problem comes when our Western mind gets a hold of the Amplified Bible and it has a little insertion in there and says, "Ask and keep on asking." And it's in little brackets. And we think that means it's in the Word of God, but that means it's added by the translator. That's what he thought about it. Now, if it really means that, it says it's in the present imperative and often repeated. Well, it may be it is. I don't know that much about Greek, but I know one thing. If it is in the present imperative and often repeated, it can't be repeated in this instance. If it does, it violates everything Jesus taught about prayer. Everything. If it does mean ask and keep on asking, it'd have to mean receive and keep on receiving every time you ask. Y'all still out there? You go home. Now, we're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. Can you understand that if you believe, you receive? If you said to your child, and they said, you know, I want a dollar to go to the store, and you said, okay, I'll give you a dollar tomorrow before we go. And they just kept whining and saying, oh, come on, please give me a dollar. After a while, you just get mad and say, hey, you're not getting a dollar. You don't believe what I said. Why in the world would we have to go back to God and just worry, ward him around to try to get him to do something which he's already done? He's already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now that's strong. That's just as strong language you can get. Now the problem is that we've come up with a lot of other stuff. We had a better idea. Well, if praying once is good, maybe praying 10 times is better, or 3,000 times would be much better. But when you petition God, if you pray in faith, you only have to pray it one time. When you're asking God to do something, then begin to praise Him for it, begin to thank Him for it, begin to pray the Word of God. Thank you, Father, my need is met according to your riches in glory, because you said in your Word. See, faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. You go to prayer every morning and say, now, Lord, you know I don't have the money and things are getting worse, and faith cometh by hearing. You'll have great faith and things get worse. You develop fear while you're praying. But if you'll pray the Word of God, prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Now, let's deal a little bit with this prayer of intercession, because, you see, there's things that we need to intercede about. And then there is also in the Spirit. You see, you intercede in the Spirit. And you pray according to God when you do that. So there's not going to be any vain repetition in that. Now, when it comes to praying concerning the prayer of petition, you pray what God's Word said. You take Him at His Word. I often just read it from the Bible and say, now, Lord, here's what you said. I believe I received it, and I thank you for it. But now, when it comes to a prayer, if I'm praying for some individual, say there's an individual that has been deceived, and Satan's just whipping him up one side and down the other, and I go to prayer and to intercede for that individual, and by the authority of the name of Jesus, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that deceiving spirit. I break the power of satanic oppression over that individual. I call down the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. I bind and cast down spiritual wickedness in high places that has deceived them, and I break the power of that satanic deception in the name of Jesus. I can pray that every morning, any time is necessary. Because I haven't asked God to do anything. I am taking authority over that with the name of Jesus, and I'm pulling down those strongholds with the authority of the head of the church, Jesus of Nazareth. But when it comes to the petition of prayer, you only have to ask Him once. I'll tell you, that's good news when I found that out. Now, come back. Let's go back to this scripture here in the 11th chapter. And let's see what Jesus is trying to teach us out of this 5th verse down through the 10th verse here. Let's read it again. Verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come, his journey has come to me, and I have not what I'm going to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble thee not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. Now here's the way that most people approach this scripture. The importunity means persistence. And they say persistence means to keep on keeping on, so they say that he just kept on knocking. But if you'll notice, he never did knock. He just probably hollered in the window, I don't know. But now, Jesus is saying he would not because he's his friend. God doesn't answer prayer on the basis of friendship. He answers it on the basis of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's not prayer that saves the sick. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. Faith will work without prayer. Prayer won't work without faith. You understand? So then, when you say persistence of faith or importunity of faith, you have changed the meaning of the word. Persistent faith does not mean faith that asks and keeps on asking. Persistent faith is faith that asks in faith and just stands there and stands there and stands there and stands there until he gets it. That's persistence of faith. Now, if he asks again, he's out of faith. One of them's in unbelief. Now, don't look at me with that tone of voice. I know what you're thinking. A lady come to me after teaching a seminar like this. She said, Brother Capps, your teaching just confuses me. I said, no, sister, you was confused when you came. The answers of the Word bring them light. You didn't know you was confused until you heard the truth. Then it just showed, just like giving you a flashlight. You go up and shine it in your attic and say, look what this flashlight did to my attic. Look at all this dirt this flashlight caused. No, the dirt was already there. The flashlight, you just couldn't see it till there was light shed over the subject. Now, I'll tell you, folks, I've traveled the religious road of praying for 20 years. Prayed and prayed and prayed and over and over and over and over and over and just worried God about things and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Hardly ever had anything happen. Just once in a while, it'd be a faith accident, you know. Now, you know, if you were to leave here tonight going to Topeka, which is about, what, 40, 50 miles, and you drove for 3 years and didn't get to Topeka, wouldn't you get suspicious you was on the wrong road? I mean, certainly, after a while, after a couple of 3 years, sure, you'd think, I must be on the wrong road. But I traveled the same road for 20 years. Never did get suspicious that I was on the wrong road till I heard the truth, till I got the Word of God rightly divided. Then when I learned to pray in faith, I got more prayers answered in 2 weeks than I got answered in the previous 20 years all put together. The prayer of faith. Now listen to what Jesus said. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, it doesn't go by basis of friendship, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Because of his persistent faith, that he had enough audacity or brass, really. Actually, this word importunity can mean barefacedness. Boldness. He had enough boldness to come to me even at midnight and believe that I would give him bread. He said, I'll get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, does that compare with what the Bible says? What is Hebrews, the 4th chapter, is it, that says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain. Not that you might try to obtain, that you may obtain. Come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, the reason people don't come boldly is because they don't know the will of God. They don't pray the prayer of faith. They're trying to beg God. They're trying to talk God into something that they think He doesn't want to do. But I'm telling you something, folks, that'll change your life. It'll change the things that happen around your household and in your business. If you'll spend the time to find out what the will of God is and find the promise to stand on and confess until faith comes, if it takes you 2 years to generate the faith from that promise, wait 2 years before you pray. Then pray the prayer of faith, and you will receive an answer. Isn't that good news? Praise God. God bless you. I appreciate so much you allowing us to minister the Word of God to you today as we've talked about rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Our offer all of this week is a video offer, number 7881, 7881. It's entitled Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings. This is a 144-minute video. That's nearly 2 hours and a half of video for $24 plus $5 postage and handling, a total of $29. Now, on this video, we talk about the fact that so many places in the Bible where it says God did something, it wasn't God that did it at all. Finis Dakes, in one of his notes in the Annotated Reference Bible, states this: it seems from 2 Samuel 24:1 that the Lord moved David to number Israel. But we must understand this is only in the sense that his allowing it to happen without definitely interfering. By Hebrew idiom and also modern usage, a person is said to do that which he permits to be done. Now, when you study this out, you find out, actually, that it says Satan in 1 Chronicles 21:1 says, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, God had told him not to number Israel. So, see, this is a hard saying. We're talking about scriptural balance to hard sayings. Sometimes in the Old Testament, something is said, attributed to God, that God didn't do at all. And then God gets a black eye over the deal, so to speak. For instance, in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, 9 and 10, it indicates that God closed Israel's eyes so they couldn't see, couldn't hear, lest he should heal them. Well, now, that's a hard saying, isn't it? But when you studied out, you find out that wasn't what happened at all. That's offer number 7881 for a total of $29. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400. That's 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the devil is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
I remember the Lord said to me one time, He said, Son, don't ever pray for anything you can't believe me for. Boy, I tell you, it shocked my theology. I said, well, I'll tell you one thing, it sure shortened my prayer time. Because I just prayed a scatter load to heal all the sick, bless all the missionaries, and save all the lost. You know, why, there wasn't any way on earth you could believe for that. And I think that's the way a lot of us have been. But we need to rightly divide the Word. Now, listen to what Jesus says concerning this. We're here in the 11th chapter of Luke. And Jesus has just said that because of his importunity or persistence of faith, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Matthew 21:22 says, all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Mark 11:24 said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, you see, you've got to deal with all these scriptures to go back and pray that same prayer over. So when you plant a seed, leave it planted. Water it, fertilize it, pull up the weeds around it, but don't dig up the seed. I mean, when you pray it, let it stay prayed. So many people unsay they're praying. Hallelujah. Turn with me over to Luke, the 18th chapter. Verse 1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. Now I've heard this preached and taught, that now this is God. This is what Jesus is teaching us, that you just got to keep on coming like this little widow woman came to God. How in the world could an unjust judge be a type of God? I mean, he feared not God, neither regarded man. How in the world could he be a type of God? He's not. He's a type of the devil. And this little widow woman is the type of a believer. She came to him saying, Avenge me of my adversary. That's not a request, that's a demand. She demanded it. A little widow woman that had no political power, no pull, nobody to back her, come to an unjust judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. That's a type of the devil if there ever was one. And it says, He would not for a while, but afterwards He said within Himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest, notice the word lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, most people will tell you that she was already, she just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, but I declare that she only came one time. It didn't say she kept coming. It said, the unjust judge said she will keep coming. If I don't do something, she will. He could tell by the tone of her voice that she wasn't going to take no for an answer. I mean, he'd go home and he couldn't sleep. He could see that little baldy finger pointing in his face saying, Avenge me, mine adversary. And he said, Though I regard not God nor man, he said, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry to him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith? The faith that this little widow woman had. She went before the unjust judge and she decreed what was going to take place. Avenge me, mine adversary. Though he didn't want to, though he rather not. Now let me show you something here. The only indication that she kept coming is where it says there was a widow that she came to him saying. Now there are several places in the scripture where it says Jesus came to his disciples saying. That didn't mean that he came there saying and he went back and he came back saying the same thing. It just meant he was saying it while he's walking. He came to them talking. She came to this unjust judge saying, Avenge me, my adversary. Brother, she's walking while she's talking. And she's got faith and authority in her voice. But most of the time you hear that, well, now what God's trying to teach us out of this is that we just, got to just keep coming and keep. And I've heard it preached out of this very passage of Scripture here that you just got to keep coming, just got to keep coming to God. You just got to keep worrying God. He said, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Doesn't sound like that God is going to have to be worried concerning that. Now back up and let me point out something else to you here. Verse 5. It says, "Yet because this widow troubleth me." Notice he's troubled. He's troubled in his head because of what she said and the authority in her voice. He said, "I will avenge her lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now, if she continues to come, he's going to be weary. But he's not weary at this point. He's only troubled. If she had been continually coming, he would be weary already. But he's not weary already. He's only troubled. But if she continues to come, he will be weary. So he said, "I'm just going to get rid of this deal right now." So this is a type of the believer knowing his authority in Christ. Coming before the devil. Taking authority over situations and circumstances in your life. This is a victorious report. This is not a report trying to talk God into something. How in the world could you compare an unjust judge to God? Doesn't have a thing to do with God. It's the believer coming before the devil and doing spiritual warfare with him. And Jesus asked the question, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth, or this kind of faith? Will he find this kind of faith?" That an individual would come before the devil, before principalities and powers, and demand their rights. I'll tell you, we have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority over principalities and powers. Go with me over there to Philippians. Let's stop off in Ephesians before we get there. Paul, in Ephesians, the first chapter, see where we break into this here. He's praying in verse 18. He says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now as you come into the second chapter, it says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Then come down to verse 16. "And has raised us..." Well, let's stop at verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now where is Jesus? Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. He's far above principality and power. Someone said, "Well, I can understand that. But you see, we're not there yet." Well, you missed it. He said, "And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, I have sense enough to know we're not there physically, but we're there in spiritual power and authority. When Christ was raised and seated at the right hand of the Father, as far as God was concerned, the body of Christ is with that authority and far above principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Hallelujah. For He gave us His name to use. That name is above every name. "Every knee shall bow, beings in heaven, beings in earth, and beings under the earth shall bow to the name of Jesus." Thank God we have authority over the devil, demons, principalities, and powers. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. God bless you. I appreciate you joining us for the broadcast today. I trust you've been with us all this week. We've been talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. And our offer this week is video offer number 7881, Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings. Now, this is one of the most informational videos that I've ever done.
scriptural balance to hard sayings. There are hard sayings in the Bible that how in the world do you explain it to someone? Sounds like God blinded Israel so they couldn't see, couldn't hear, couldn't understand, so God wouldn't have to heal them. But we find out that Jesus straightened it all out in Matthew, the 13th chapter. See, Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 seems to say that God blinded them so they couldn't see, couldn't understand, couldn't be healed. Well, now, what's wrong with that? There's something wrong with that picture. And when you get over into the New Testament, Jesus laid it out line upon line, and he said, their eyes they have closed. In other words, it wasn't God that closed their eyes at all. It was because they didn't have ears to hear. They did not want to know the truth. They did not want to understand the truth. And they closed their own eyes. Now, when you read Paul's account of it in the last chapter of Acts, he says it word for word what Jesus said. And you remember Paul said that the gospel I'm preaching, I didn't learn it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And in the last chapter of the book of Acts, you can read it for yourself, he quotes Isaiah's prophecy and quotes it word for word, verbatim, what Jesus said, their eyes they have closed. So this is scriptural balance to hard sayings. And many other things that we talk about on this video, and of course we can't talk about everything here that we talk about in 2.5 hours. But don't blame God. God is on your side. God is for you. This video will be a blessing to you, and you know about 10 people that need it. That's offer number 7881, Scriptural Balance to Hard Sayings, 2.5 hour VHS video for $24 plus $5 postage and handling. Toll-free order line is 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until Monday, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.